Welcome to the work session for the City Council meeting of September 19th. Our first item is staff introductions, and so we'll turn this over to Ken.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm so grateful that we're getting back to staff introductions. Sometimes months turn into longer periods of time where we don't introduce the city staff to you. So I'm pleased to be able to turn the mic over to three of our department heads to introduce some employees to you tonight. So we'll start with Sherry.
Okay, I am pleased to introduce you to our new code enforcement specialist, Rocky Crisp. And he started here on August 18th. He comes to us with 14 years of code enforcement experience. He worked for Harriman, Midvale, Provo City, Sandy, and Draper. I think I got them all there. Previous to working in code enforcement, he has 15 years of law enforcement experience in California. He worked for the city of Fullerton, Los Angeles County and Riverside County. And he is a resident of South Jordan with his wife, Lori. So I just did a little write-up so I wouldn't forget anything, but Rocky is a great addition to our team. In the month that he's been here, he has resolved 28 out of 32 new complaints that we received and also closed about two dozen other complaints that we had that were outstanding. He's been tackling park strip signs, you know, those make $10,000 a month that are all over the city. Old development signs that are going to be coming down that we've been struggling with for years, as well as helping to educate some of the businesses about the temporary signs and banners that they put up in the appropriate places and making sure they're neat and tidy, those types of things. My favorite story of Rocky so far is he had a complaint about an old mattress that had been dumped behind the post office. And so he went into the post office and talked to the employee there, and he'd come back to the office and he's like, well, so I could spend a lot of time trying to figure out whose mattress this is or who I need to contact, because the post office isn't owned by the federal government, it's leased. And he goes, or I could just throw it in my truck and take it down to the dumpster in Public Works. Would you mind if I did that? And I was like, heck no, I don't mind, please, and thank you very much. I was like so excited just to have that being done, because that would have just taken weeks if we'd tried to track down somebody to take care of that. He's also been helpful in identifying some publicly owned properties that needed some maintenance. Some of those were our properties, and some of them were the fire district's property and the South Davis sewer district. So he's been working with those agencies to make sure those get taken care of. Some other projects that he's tackling for us include developing a resource list for property owners. So for instance, if you have junk cars, how do you get the title for it? What are some resources for help with mowing your lawns if they're having maintenance problems? And that we find that to be really helpful. And next on his list, we're working on a strategy for trimming street trees above the sidewalk and the streets. And we have a meeting set up on Thursday with some public works folks to come up with an education program for the citizens and how we can get those things taken care of so we don't damage the trees with our snowplows this winter. One of the great things about having a new employee is we get to learn about them as a person, not just as an employee. And so I wanted to share a fun fact for Rocky. He was drafted out of high school as a professional soccer player. And so in the early 80s, he played 2 years with the LA Lasers. And his career came to a premature halt when he broke his ankle. And that led him to law enforcement and eventually code enforcement. And today here at North Salt Lake, which we are just thrilled to death to have him on our team. I think he's a great addition. He has a great rapport with the public and with the businesses and is seeing a lot of success. So we are very excited to welcome him to North Salt Lake.
Wow. Thank you. Man, you covered everything.
Well, I tried.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's really good to be here. I knew Kurt that used to work here as well. I used to see him at the monthly meetings, and he had nothing but great things to say here about the city. And so, as Sherry said, I was born and raised down in California, a little city down there called Los Angeles. And yeah, and so I got hurt in the line of duty, and I was mandatory retired out with a wife and two little kids. I wasn't really sure. I was scared to death, but they did give me a disability retirement. My wife's family is from Davis County, so I've been coming back and forth for 35 years. So as soon as I got retired out, I said, man, we're out of California. We came up here. We have two great kids. My son's an officer in the Air Force. He's in Space Force. And our daughter is a nurse at Primary Children's Hospital. So we moved up here, finished raising them, and they did good. Sticking with what I knew, I stayed in the enforcement field, and as Sherry said, I worked several different cities, been exposed to quite a lot of different ways of handling things. And so I've been exposed to a lot, don't know everything, I'm open to suggestion, but I think I have a good way of selling the violation to people and getting compliance, and that's the ultimate goal, is getting voluntary compliance with the residents here, leave a good taste in their mouth with the city government. So with that, thank you again for the opportunity. I'm really glad to be here and contribute to the city.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
It's so great to have you here.
Thank you, sir.
So I am very pleased to introduce you to the Assistant City Engineer, Jennifer Smith. She's not that new. She started here right after Thanksgiving, so it's been about 10 months since she joined us. Jennifer has about 27 years of experience as an engineer. About 20 years ago, she started working for municipalities. She worked for South Jordan. She's worked for Summit County. She's worked most recently for Mill Creek, where we stole her from. And she has a lot of experience in water design. She worked for some consulting firms, so she knows both sides. And most recently did a lot of support and site plan review for their planning department at Mill Creek. So jumping in here with our geotech, our retaining walls that have been troublesome this year, setting up new systems in place for storm drains, she's been instrumental in helping me define these processes, come up with plans, information, so that we can have clear information provided on the website for people just trying to clarify some of those things. There's been a lot of restructuring in the last year, as you know, and she's been intimately involved in helping us figure out how we can manage things in the most efficient way possible. So Jen has had a couple of surprises since she came here with a lot of the things that we've done, and she has been amazing at jumping right in and figuring out all the things that need to be done and all the steps that need to be taken. So it's really great because we complement each other quite well with our expertise. And it's been really nice having a team member who actually knows more than I do about some of the things that I'm the weakest in. So that's been really, really helpful for us. On a personal note, Jen has a dog named Luna, who is the love of her life. And we have, I mean, don't, we won't tell her actual love of her life that, but we all know it's the dog. But she loves to fish, and she loves the outdoors, and she loves to fish so much that she just purchased a home in Lava to spend weekends in because there's a fishing stream running right through the backyard. So we're always grateful that she's here on time, bright and early Monday morning, and not out fishing. But we are so pleased to have her here, and she's going to be a huge asset to the city, and already is. I don't know what I'd do without her.
Thanks. So I would just like to say how happy I am to be here. It's been a journey so far. I have learned a tremendous amount from Karen and from everyone else here on board with North Salt Lake City. I am excited to just continue to learn more and to continue to work well with Karen and go use my house in Lava on the weekends. Thanks.
Well, I'm excited to
introduce you to Wyatt Hess. Wyatt has been with us for, I think it was December when we hired Wyatt last year. He, if you knew Scott Merrill, Scott left and we hired Wyatt, and Wyatt was a great find. He was working for Whitaker Construction at the time down in St. George, laying gas lines, I believe, if I remember right from that long ago. But one thing was impressive about when we interviewed Wyatt was just his attitude that he had and how he liked to just make sure that the jobs were done right. And when we checked his references, he had a great reference from a tin shop that he was working at, and the guy, the owner of the tin shop, actually had Wyatt running one of his shops down in St. George. So I just thought I was really impressed with Wyatt and the references that we got, and he's been a great hire. He's just totally killing it in the parks, learning all that he can. He's excelled well with all the technical stuff that we do, and I think he's continuing to learn every day. So, personal, Wyatt's got he's got a pretty sweet dog that that he might want to tell you about. But other than that, I'll turn it over to you, Wyatt.
So, John, can you tell us? So, Wyatt's in the Parks Division.
Yeah, Wyatt's in the Full-time. Parks Department. He I have two other guys that we also hired just recently. They weren't able to make it tonight, so we'll have to introduce you to them at another meeting. So, all right. I don't know if you want to add to anything of that or.
I guess just happy to be working here. I don't know.
All right. So. Okay. Thanks.
So we do kind of put these folks on the spot, but I just wanted to add, it's really awesome to watch the hiring and the training and the onboarding of new talent, and I'm just really impressed with the skill of our department heads. I think we've gotten better at hiring over the years that I've been here, not necessarily my success, but just everybody's collective success. The organization's been elevated because we've hired really great people, and I think the citizens really benefit from that. So anyway, really proud of our department heads and proud of these new employees. We're so happy to have them, and we feel like we've found little treasures every time we get a great hire. And and we're not above stealing from other communities, as you know.
Thank you, and it's so great to meet them and hear the story of their hire and what they bring to the city. So I love this. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Next item is Tyler giving us an update on the golf department. While he's coming up, can I apologize? I've never experienced allergies before, like I have, and I'm coughing all the time. It's been going on for several weeks now, and I understand a lot of people are suffering, so I feel like I'm in good company, but I'm not sick, but I am coughing all the time, and I apologize for that.
All right. Council Mayor, thanks for letting me come give you the spiel on the golf course for last year. I don't know if this video will play. I'll kind of skip through it. But basically, I'll go through kind of some history and golf of Eaglewood in the last little while. So this will be on our new website. It's still being kind of finagled and redone right now, but we'll have a lot of new images and photography and some promo videos on there that will kind of showcase Eaglewood after the transition there. So I can send this to you. You can wait for it. It's on the website. It's a pretty cool little video we did. So on the left, you'll see a little bit of an outline, but I kind of want to go through what our mission of the golf course is. So those bullet points kind of outline really what my staff and our objectives are for City of North Salt Lake. I think most importantly there, and especially it's been expressed the last since I've been here, is to be fiscally responsible for the golf course, not only for the city operations, but for the citizens of North Salt Lake. So We did. It's been a couple of years, but really haven't brought it to attention. We've kind of changed our logo as we were going through our renovations, so it is a little bit different, but we kind of kept that throughout all of the changes around the golf course. So you'll see new signage around the building and on the website and on all of our materials as well, kind of an updated look. The old logo was original, 1994, so this one would have been 2021 for this new logo. As well as kind of a change for the grill. I don't know how well this kind of outlined. Looks like we're missing a few headers on the PowerPoint, but kind of we really have three semi-large operations within the golf course. So we have the pro shop, golf operations, turf operations, and now the grill and event center operations. And just highlight kind of our top full-time employees. Weston Kimber is our superintendent. He's been here for 26 years at the city, followed by Brent Moyes, our head golf professional, Nick Bowes, and our assistant superintendent, and then myself, and then a few new hires with Alan Cox, assistant professional, Jordan Jensen on the maintenance, and then Justin Fields is running our grill just about 6 months ago. So all in all, we also have some quarter-time fleet mechanics that help us. So total, we have 7.5 full-time employees on the golf staff, anywhere from 40 to 65 seasonal to part-time employees. But I put 55 as kind of our average during the peak season there. So we have a lot of different departments within golf and a lot of different employees that we're managing and covering there. This year especially, we hired, instead of having volunteers as marshals, we hired them as part-time seasonal employees to kind of help manage and get people on the golf course. So there's a little bit of an increase there. If you've dived into our operational expenses, you'll see that as well. So along with our mission, we have a vision, and it was kind of started when I first came here. And I hesitate to say jokingly, but my vision coming here was to be or have the best public golf course in the state of Utah. And there's a lot of things that we can't overcome as far as location and views, although we do have some pretty views. But I think we've made some inroads there with kind of climbing the ladder within the state of Utah. So the kind of the chart on the right gives you our Google review ratings within basically golf courses along the Wasatch Front, public golf courses. I didn't include private ones. You see it's 4.7 just below Wasatch Mountain up in Midway. So we started, when I started here, we were at 4.3. So we've made quite a bit of a jump there to kind of make some inroads with that. And it correlates with our search engine. So if people are searching for golf courses, those that are higher rated are higher on the scale of far as where they're showing up on HA pages. So it helps us quite a bit. We have won quite a few awards in the last couple of years. So Best of SLC we've won the last 2 years, Best of Davis County this year, and then Salt Lake City Best, which is a Salt Lake Tribune, won last year. And then I can't speak to what we're at this year, but it's there as well.
So as I look at this, Wasatch Mountain, they have a lot of very aggressive flies. And so maybe we need to import a few of those to get our point total up.
Yeah, and I, too, as well, is the amount of reviews we've had kind of accentuates how busy we've been and compared to those other golf courses. We're pushing for those people to, even the negative reviews, for people to leave us how they're doing, and we try to address those negative reviews as quickly as possible, which have been effective for us. A part of that vision, too, with having the best public golf course in the state of Utah, my part, just having a country club experience for people as they were coming to Eaglewood, and with the renovations we have of the clubhouse and the new golf carts and some free amenities that they're getting as they're coming to Eaglewood, have kind of accentuated that experience for people, and it's been notated in our reviews and experiences for people. A stock pro shop with different things that they'd have from other golf courses. New GPS units have been great as well. So a lot of the small things that do have a cost to us are ultimately helping us with increased play and revenue there. Just to give you, this is historical rounds, so back to fiscal year 2000. So this is July through June of the following year. obviously, back into COVID, in fiscal year 21, we had a little over 70,000 rounds. The next year was down a little bit, and even though our 65,000 for this previous fiscal year is down, if you'll look at November and March of this fiscal year, we missed out on about 6,000 rounds of golf in March and November because of the weather. So we were up pretty much every other month, other than, I believe, April. We were open for all 18, April 15th. So in 15 days in April, we almost got to how many rounds we had in last year of April, which was a good month. So the golf course has been extremely busy, which is good for us. Give you an idea of just revenue from the golf course side, so it kind of correlates there with a larger percentage of revenue. These do include our grill sales as well as our event center sales, which is equitable from fiscal year 20. Those include our event center sales as well, but you can see a big jump really there for most of the fiscal year on revenue. Merchandise sales, it's kind of hard to see in the bottom right, but we've been slowly climbing there from fiscal year 20, 140,000 up to almost 310 this year, this past fiscal year, and already we're seeing increased growth this fiscal year, so we should exceed that 307,000 for this fiscal year we're in. So doing well with that. Increased amount of tournaments in play have just helped a lot with those sales. I didn't include fiscal year, I'll leave that for Heidi in the financial audit, but you can kind of see that the purple, what I like to point to is that purple notations on this graph to show what the operating income or loss was for the golf course. So we've seen some black numbers the last couple of years, and again this last fiscal year, so we'll hope to continue to do that. This year was lower than I would like it to be, only because we had a lot of operating expenses for getting the grill and the event center going, which should it decrease our expenses for this fiscal year. Our associations have grown, so our men's association has grown in 2020 from 78 total members up to 135. Our women's association has grown from really zero to 80. And then our junior club has gone from 50 to 77. Last year we limited it to 50, so that's kind of why that dipped a little bit, but we changed how we did our junior golf this year and got kind of back up to that same spot. So those have been successful. We'll continue to try to grow those because that'll be our biggest and most loyal customer base there that we want to keep happy and coming to Eaglewood. So kind of following up with the construction, it ended pretty well. We got everything done early this spring with the deck. Original bid amount was $2.6 million from ALCO. We had a lot of changes and alterations and removals and additions while we were under construction, but I was happy to see us come in under budget, which during COVID and shortage of supplies, we were pretty pleased with making sure we were not overspending where we shouldn't. So the overall course on the bond, we have a good amount left, which I have some future projects, and we've discussed a few other things that the golf course that we can still move towards to make it even a better experience. So we've renovated pretty much all of the existing clubhouse, from pro shop to the grill to the new simulator space to the exterior, which have some updated pictures on the right there for you as well. We still do have the parking lot out front, which will kind of eat into that $465,000 we have remaining. There's some drainage issues you can even see in that picture on the lower right with some spider cracking and things that we need to address probably this spring. So our advertising, we've done a lot there, and we can still grow, but we're doing some digital billboards along I-15, Facebook, Instagram, Google Ads, kind of target different events, different men's associations and ladies associations to kind of draw people in. These are kind of complicated, but in a sense, these are our blipped advertising, so those are digital advertising on the freeway. And I believe this is a three-month, June, July, and August. So they kind of estimate how many people see our billboards. So if you happen to have seen some along I-15, so almost 280,000 people.
Is that what a blip is?
A 15-second digital ad, and you'll see them as they rotate through. So we're on some of those billboards that rotate through. It ends up being a lower cost option than doing the full billboards. And I can target specific times and specific days for our ads to go. So I'm targeting beginning of the week for golf and kind of later in the week for the event center to kind of get those people that are looking for tee times or thinking about golf earlier in the week to book tee times later in the day. So, and you kind of say, at least see by the dates when we've got stuff going. September was included in there, but I think only a couple of days. So these are our Google ads. So I look at impressions and then how many people are clicking. So our ads that ran, again, May, June, July, and August, 333,000 people saw those ads. And then a percentage of those, almost 6,000 people clicked on those. So we're only paying for those that click on the ads. So it ends up being at least a representation for us. For an example, our afternoon special ad will run for, if someone's searching for a golf course in Utah, our ad would populate on some of those pages. If someone's searching for a golf course in Davis County, our golf course is at the top of that ad. So it's kind of a way for us to increase our search engine optimization within Google, but also get our name out there for someone that's even searching for Bountiful Ridge. Our ad will pop up on the top there. So if they want to go to Valley View, our ad's popping up there. So it's kind of getting us out in front of those other golf courses that people are going to and used to going to. Just to share some event center revenue, and then I know this was an action item that wanted me to report back on the end of the year, and I'll keep reporting as I do this annual reports on kind of where we're at with the amount of, I have a little graph on the next page. But essentially, we started booking for fall events last year. So in July, September, we did have a few events in the event center, but the event center wasn't even started renovations yet. We finished that in October. And then November was when the whole exterior was finished. So we really had half of the fiscal year still under construction. And then up until April this year, the deck was still under construction. And you can kind of see that with our event center revenue. It really didn't kick off until April. So we had some slower July, August, September, October. And then once we get into April and the deck is finished, those revenue numbers kind of jump out. The unearned revenue is basically deposits and payments we've received for events that are this fiscal year. So that's why that kind of is deducted from the total. Kind of consistent with what I reported back to previously, about 25 to 30%, I think 31% was our resident booking rate on the event center. We have 81 total scheduled events for 2023, so basically really from April until the end of the year, which filled up a lot of our weekends, which I'll talk about more within tournaments. But 12 out of those 81 were using our in-house catering, mostly because we allowed outside catering until we had Justin kind of established there, and we're kind of changing that to require them to use our inside catering. And then 14 of 81 brought in alcohol, which we have a licensed bartender we've contracted with out of Salt Lake to serve those. A few more pictures there for you. So golf tournaments, we have 67, and actually probably closer to 70 as of today. We have had a few book for October. I think the biggest thing that we're going to be changing, and it may end up giving us a little bit of a decrease in golf tournaments, but an increase in event center use, is pushing all these tournaments more towards Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the occasional Fridays, and leaving the Friday, Saturdays for all-day wedding bookings. Ultimately, we make more revenue by having an all-day wedding and public golf than we do a golf tournament. So we're kind of transitioning to pushing more of these events, and the fee schedule I presented to you a couple weeks ago is kind of the start of that. So having a higher cost that makes up for having a golf tournament on a Saturday if someone really wants that date, it really ends up being the revenue that we would get from an event and public golf. So, and that kind of notate there on the 2023, even with this year, 21 of the 67 were on the weekend. So even a decrease from last year, but an overall increase total. Some revenue numbers for the grill. Like I said, we hired Justin in February. I really didn't get going till the golf course opened mid-April. Had some higher expenses, operating costs, kind of getting going, which I was glad to see us just about break even, which hopefully next year, as we decrease our food cost and labor cost and have more of these things concrete, we'll make some revenue off the grill. Again, kind of going back to what we did with the events, we had a lot of tournaments with outside catering, outside food, as they booked before we had a caterer, and we allowed them to bring in food. So next year we'll have even more of an increase in tournament revenue from catering. We do have some plans and community events that we'll be doing in the grill in the off season to kind of keep Justin and the part-time staff busy. So we'll do some fine dining events, breakfast to Santa, holiday events. Even in the summer, we'll do some Mother's Day brunches, weekend brunches, online ordering, family meals, those types of things to kind of keep the grill going through the winter. And there's just a few other things. So these are more kind of community events that we've discussed as staff and even in some of the golf committee meetings. We do have our family scramble. We have car show and Liberty Fest, obviously. We'll be doing some event center open houses. We'll also be doing some tournament open houses with those that book tournaments, some more music on the deck evenings, weekend brunches, things like that. And we have, I think I've got a slide. Yeah, okay. So I've kind of approached this Gateway Parks group. I know there's been discussion of a tow rope for their sledding here at the golf course. So this company out of Idaho is contracted with City of Spanish Fork City, their golf course, to kind of start doing, kind of, you see the example on the right there, some professionally built tubing hills, sledding hills, on their golf course. So we've kind of examined, I've reached out to them, discussed them with a little bit. We're a little bit of a time crunch to kind of get it going this year. But as I get some proposals from them and liability and information and needs, I'll kind of bring this to you hopefully maybe later in the winter or spring, kind of see how it goes for Spanish Fork City. But there's an opportunity there from them as far as they're operating. They would save, basically give the city a percentage of their sales to operate the golf course sledding hills as a basically a venue for people. I would note that there still be areas for free sledding, so those that don't want to pay to use their lifts and their services would still be able to come up and sled for free. So that was one concern I had with them. But again, I'll bring this to you again as we get more details, but wanted to get in front of you today is something that may add some revenue to the golf course operations. So. These are just kind of a flashback to the equipment that you approved for us a few meetings ago. We're still waiting on all of them. So we're hoping to get the Ventrac here before end of October, and then the other three pieces of equipment here before this fiscal year ends. So they kind of keep, just like everybody else, they keep telling us that it'll be here soon. And it's, we don't know when it's coming, or we hope it's before June. So I'll give you up. Update on the fairway mowers when we get those, but our hope is that the leased fairway mowers that we kind of have earmarked are available for us. That would save us again about $120,000 in off of new equipment. So here's the biggest thing with the golf course operation is the golf went through really COVID and then the Great Life. We kind of fell behind on our equipment replacement program. We have a lot of pieces of equipment that are 8 to 10 year functional life that are increasing up to 13, 14. And I'll obviously bring these to you in budget, but just to kind of give you an idea of where I feel like we need to be budget wise to get us in line and on track and back in line with where our equipment needs to be. We've had a few, even a rough mower this week go down that could have been an $8,000, $9,000 repair for a new piece of equipment that costs $100. So as those expenses keep going up for us to repair these equipment, it'll make more sense for us to either purchase leased or used equipment. That would be my hope a lot for these expensive pieces of equipment. If you look at those rough mowers, we currently have two of them, and they're $105,000 each. So Those are new. But we're looking right now at other options as far as tow behind and tractor PTO type pieces of equipment to save on cost. I won't read through all these, but this kind of gives you an idea of our focus for our goals, the golf course operations for my staff. We really want to make sure we're an asset to the city and that we keep functioning in the black. So really focusing on those revenue-driven goals, I think, will help us get there, as well as some of the operational goals with having a good team culture and a good staff there to help us get there will be important for us. And then lastly, kind of just some long-term projects. We'll have this in more of a report for you, but there's a lot of, as the golf course grows and we continue to make those operational income, finding ways to kind of upgrade and put that money towards capital improvement projects on the golf course. So I know I kind of flew through that, but if there are any questions or if you'd like me to go back through to any slides you want to look at or...
Very impressive what you've done. As I look at, I still think the event center is a real opportunity to grow revenue there. I was talking to someone the other day, and I had, you know, Eaglewood on my, and he said, oh, I love what they've done with the clubhouse. I love the simulators. Don't you? And I realized I haven't seen them.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Field trip.
I'll wander up there one of these days and make you give me a tour. But anyway, I'm just really pleased at what you've done up there.
I love the use of the data and tracking that and using that to inform decisions. And I just applaud the creativity as well of looking at new ideas like the winter utilization concepts. And so just kudos. It's fantastic.
Thank you so much, Tyler, for all the good you're doing. And we've got Karen Mills with us tonight, too. She's on the golf committee. We serve together. And I think that winter plans are, you must have heard me, because I really like that fact that we're using the snow in the wintertime to our benefit. That's really exciting that you're looking into that. And overall, just, it's amazing. You really should pat yourself on the back because you've really done so well. Thank you. Okay.
I can just say the same thing that they all said, so I won't, but you just know I'm thinking that.
Thanks, Dan.
I have one more thing. Thank you. This is wonderful and so impressive. For me, an extra piece that is always meaningful is the community outreach, especially opening access to the golf course to people who can't necessarily afford or choose to play at the golf course. So information about like field trips and the youth program is always really, really powerful for me as well.
Yeah, I'd love to even expand what we've done with some of the Foxborough Elementary and just kind of keep growing that. And I didn't know Tate there, but there is I won't take too much time. So there's a program in Utah, it's called Youth on Course. So it's basically a subsidized program that the Utah Golf Foundation puts together for kids to be able to play golf for a lower cost. So for example, our regular junior rate is $12. And through this Youth on Course program, it allows us to charge kids $5 to play 9 holes rather than 12. And the Utah Golf Foundation will pay the golf course the difference. So generally it's $5 back. So we're getting $10 for these kids to come play, and it only comes $5 out of their pocket. And so we were allotted $4,000 for this year, thinking that would last us through the entire season, and we ran out in July. So we'll continue to kind of grow our junior program and get more kids up there and grow with that program too to get more kids playing that's accessible. So anyways. Thanks.
Thank you, Turner. Next item is Heidi. She's going to dazzle us with the financial report.
It will be hard to beat Tyler's presentation. We've closed out the fiscal year, made all of our year-end entries. These are unaudited numbers, but I wanted to give a brief update on how the general fund is performing as of the close of the year. So revenues are up over last year by 7.1%. And you can see that's $1.1 million or $1,110,000. increase mostly related to tax revenues of $700,000, which is going to be sales tax and as well as the gas tax, the energy usage tax that we saw a major increase in this last year. Expenses were up 11.7%. So that's $1.7 million. $725,000 of that's attributed to fire and public safety. $470,000 is related to public works, streets, parks, and recs programs. And then $500,000 is going to be planning, engineering, and administration. And we had originally budgeted to spend down the general fund balance by a little over $700,000. I'm pleased that we did not recognize that spend down, and we actually are projected to take increase of fund balance of $296,600. And so I've mentioned in the packet that I think going forward, I'll just email out the financial reports to you. It's been great presenting, but there's not always interesting information to present month to month. Year-end stuff is always great and kind of seeing how we fell in line with budget in prior year. But we have met our requirement as far as notifying the legislative body of our monthly financial reports, which was the intent of doing the presentation so that we could show that we've got back on track with that. So I appreciate the time that you guys have given me every month to come up here and talk about budget and finances.
So you're not, we don't get to see you again. Now, why is it we've decided that we won't have you come?
Well, it's not required. I'm happy to. Mm-hmm. I don't always have interesting or useful information to report as we go month to month. I kind of felt like towards the end of this last fiscal year, it was the same information. Impact fees are down, sales taxes up. I'm happy to, but it's not a statutory requirement. So
I really like it. Okay. I like it too, and I actually thought it was a statutory requirement that we have a monthly accounting that you present.
It is. It just doesn't need to be publicly presented.
I understand that. Okay.
But we had the audit finding, and so I wanted to make sure that we could show our external auditors that these were being presented and being presented publicly rather than being distributed by email. So that was why we changed it up. But I am, if you are okay listening to me get up here and babble about whatever I find interesting that month that's happening, I'm happy to continue.
Is that what the council would like to do?
Yeah.
Well, I think Heidi's done done too good a job with her monthly reports because we can't live without them.
Now I'll have to dig up some interesting things to report on.
We'll come up with stuff.
All right. They are interesting. To those of us that aren't in the numbers all the time, that was really interesting for me.
Well, good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Heidi. We've got a few minutes. Let's why don't we go through the minutes and maybe the action items. I didn't have any corrections to the minutes myself. Anyone have any changes to the minutes? I'll entertain the motion then.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes of August 15, 2023.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
I'm so sorry. Aye.
Thank you. Those minutes were approved. Let's go to the action items.
I have still waiting for an approval on the August 24th minutes.
Oh.
Oh, for the joint meeting. Do we have those?
Yeah, they're down. I was looking at those when she said August 15th, and I went, oh. Any corrections to the August 24th minutes? Motion to approve those.
Well, you excused me, but I did. I was.
Yeah. Let's make that correction. Yeah, Stan got on at one point.
Oh, not the tour. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong thing. My mistake. That wasn't the Planning Commission meeting.
Oh.
That was nothing.
Yeah, that's.
Oh. I was excused.
That's right. Do we even need to approve those since there was no quorum? Yeah.
Oh, is this for the tour
at Mill Creek?
Oh, I'll make the motion because I was there. I make the motion that we approve the minutes for August 24, 2023, the tour with the City Council and others at Mill Creek Commons.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. That passes. Thank you. Let's look at action items. I have an item. I don't know if it merits action item list, but the asset manager in me jumps out when I walk in the front door, and I'm concerned about the settling. The caulking is pulled away. We're going to get water infiltration there, and maybe lose the integrity of our retaining wall there.
And we'll look at that.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. And we'll put it on the action items.
My goal is to always make the action items smaller, not larger. So.
It's okay. That's a. That could be a bad problem.
Any other updates?
Any other updates on action items?
I have a question for Karen. Any update on the trail system project?
Yes. So construction began. They mowed in today. They'll begin cutting in, and we should have pavement in before October 15th.
I did want to point out that you probably noticed that the formatting of the action items was different this time. And thank you, Councilmember Knowlton, for helping us to organize that a little bit better. This was our first try at a new organization. So if there are improvements you'd like to see, but we basically, as you see on your screen, we still have the new and current category, but we have added a completed category. And I think this was a great observation. In the completed category, these will be items that will now come off of the action item list. So you won't see those again, but at least you'll have a way to keep track of what was removed instead of me just taking them off because I was in the mood to take one off and didn't tell anybody, which I'm sure would never happen. But there is an exception here on this one. Item number two, we just didn't have time to prepare a memo for the council. So that one will stay on the current items until we provide some feedback to you. So we did have I will report to you that we did have a safety meeting on it, and we have some responses to all those questions, and we'll put that in a memorandum to the council before we put it on the completed list. So
any other questions?
Thank you for those changes.
Thank you. Let's adjourn, and we'll begin our meeting in a few minutes.